والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his wives and his companions and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we're going to start studying the book Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'ah, or a small pamphlet, a small text that was authored by Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. And this small pamphlet called Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'ah, it means the four fundamental principles. And these four principles, they relate to At-Tawheed and what is the Tawheed which Allah has obligated upon the people. And also a shirk, and what is the shirk which contradicts and opposes the Tawheed. And it also relates to the shirk of the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab talks about the shirk of the Arabs in the time that he lived in. But before we study this book, just as an introduction today, then number one, the first thing is you need to bring with you pens and papers so you can take notes, and then you can memorize and you can revise. So there's no benefit in just sitting and listening if you're not going to be taking notes and learning. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innamal ilm bitta'allum wa innamal hilm bitta'allum, that knowledge is only gained through seeking knowledge. At-ta'allum meaning seeking it, writing it down, memorizing it, revising it, going over it again. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ, and tolerance or being gentle and gentleness is only sought after training yourself to be gentle and to be tolerant. So there has to be some sort of effort when it comes to seeking knowledge, and some sort of striving when it comes to memorizing this knowledge and writing and revising over this knowledge. So inshallah, in the future, if you all bring with you pens and papers and you take notes, so we can go over the notes at a later stage. And regarding seeking knowledge, then obviously this isn't something which comes easy to somebody. Nobody is born as a scholar. Every single person is born, although upon the fitrah of Tawheed, but born jahil, born as being ignorant. And then people take time and effort in order to go seek knowledge, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he narrates upon the authority of Yahya ibn Yahya Tamimi, upon the authority of Abdullah, upon the authority of his father Yahya ibn Abi Kathir rahimahumullah ajma'in, that he said, la yustata' al-ilm bi rahat al-jasad, that knowledge cannot be acquired by the body being at ease. Imam Muslim rahimahullah narrates with his chain of narration all the way to Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, that he said, لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسد, knowledge cannot be sought through the body being easy, meaning through without any type of becoming tired or striving and some sort of effort. So this is the first thing that we need to pay attention to, that when you come, you bring either the books with you in Arabic or English, you bring your pens with you and you take notes. And also, if you can, you get for yourself a folder, and then you get those plastic wallets and you place your notes in the plastic wallet. So when we cover Aqeedah, you place your Aqeedah notes in the Aqeedah wallet or section. When we do fiqh inshallah in the future, then we place the fiqh in there. In the future, there might be a time where you need to go back to a particular issue, or a certain doubt comes from you, from particular people, and you need to revise it, you check what you studied at that time. So all of your notes need to be together in a folder in different sections, and then we can revise them and go over them. And then the third matter is with regards to questions. Questions, alaykum salam, questions can be asked, no problem, after the lesson, or even throughout the lesson if there's something that you missed out. And if the sisters have questions upstairs, if they write them on a piece of paper and either send one of the children downstairs with the question or place them under the door and knock on the wall, then one of the brothers can go and collect the questions. Before we begin studying this text, Al-Qawaid Al-Arba'a, there's certain basic introductions that we need to understand. I just said the word At-Tawheed, and I mentioned the word Ash-Shirk, and we come across the word Islam, Iman, Ihsan. So if we're going to study these words and study these ideologies, we need to understand what each one of these words or terminologies means. So I'm going to dictate to you some of these terminologies and what they mean as an introduction, and all of you write them down and then afterwards memorize these terminologies. So the first word or the first terminology we often hear is At-Tawheed. We often hear this term At-Tawheed and the call to Tawheed, and Allah has obligated At-Tawheed. So the meaning of Tawheed in the Arabic language is from Wahada Yuwahidu Tawheedan. So the meaning of Tawheed in the Arabic language is Wahada Yuwahidu Tawheedan, to make something one or to make something single. This is the meaning of Tawheed when we use it in the Arabic language. Wahada Yuwahidu, to make something one. Nabil, there's some pens in my pencil case. Give it to the brothers. The black pencil case. So the meaning of Tawheed in the Arabic language is from Wahada Yuwahidu Tawheedan, to make something one. And in the Islamic terminology, it refers to Ifrad Allahu bikulli ma yakhtassu bihi, to single out Allah in everything which is specific for Him. To single out Allah. Tawheed in the Islamic terminology, it means to single out Allah in everything which is specific for Him. And I'll explain this after you've written it down to Adnan as well. To single out Allah in everything which is specific to Him or from His rights. So for example, Al-Khalq, creation, this is something which is specific for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing the unseen is something which is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sending down the rain and knowing that which is in the wombs is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we have to single out Allah and reserve these rights only for the sake of Allah. And this is the meaning of At-Tawheed. And At-Tawheed is of three types. So At-Tawheed is of three types. Ifradullahi bikulli ma yakhtassu bihi. Ifradullahi bikulli ma yakhtassu bihi. And it is three types. Number one, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. I'll give you the definition of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And the meaning of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Ifradullahi fi af'alihi. Ifradullahi fi af'alihi. Meaning to single out Allah in all of His actions. So from the actions of Allah is Al-Khalq, creating. From the actions of Allah is Ar-Rizq, to provide sustenance. From the actions of Allah is controlling the affairs of the heavens and the earth. So all of these actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we single out Allah and we specify Allah with these actions or with these attributes. So the meaning of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Ifradullahi fi af'alihi, to single out Allah in His actions. And then the second type of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And the meaning of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah is Ifradullahi fi af'alil ibad, to single out Allah in our actions, either actions of the slaves. To single out Allah in our actions. So our action of sacrificing, we have to single out Allah in our action of sacrificing. In our action of making us a dua, supplicating to Allah, we single out Allah in our action. In our action of praying, making hajj, isti'ana, seeking help, and all of those acts of worship, then we single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our action of ruling, then we rule by the law of Allah. And all of this comes under Tawheed al-Uluhiyya or Tawheed al-Ubudiyya. Ifradullahi bi af'al al-ibad. And then the third type of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, the Tawheed of the names and the descriptions of Allah. Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. And the meaning of Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, the definition is Ifradullahi, to single out Allah, to single out Allah in every name and attribute, fi kulli ismin wa sifatin, to single out Allah in every name and attribute which He has affirmed for Himself. Or which the Messenger affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to have iman in the names and the attributes or the characteristics of Allah as they came. And this is a very general definition of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. And some of the scholars mentioned definitions which are more advanced, but we're not going to discuss them now. So for example, from Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat is that Allah mentioned He is Alim al-Ghuyub. He is the one who knows the unseen. From the names of Allah is Allam al-Ghuyub, the one who knows the unseen. And therefore, to describe anybody else as knowing the unseen, then this is shirk in the asma wa sifat of Allah, in the names and attributes of Allah. In Salat al-Istikhara, in the dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught Jabir radiallahu anhu to say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka biqudratika. Wa Allahumma inni as'aluka biqudratika. And then towards the end he said, فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ وَلَا أَعْلَمْ وَتَقْدِرُ وَلَا تَقْدِرُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the one who knows the unseen. So therefore, عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, this description is, we have to single it out for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To say that somebody else knows the unseen or has any knowledge of the unseen, this is shirk in the asma wa sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as we said regarding Tawheed that it is to single out Allah in everything which is specific for Him, then shirk is its opposite. So shirk is to ifradullahi fi huquqihi, is to divert any of the rights of Allah to other than Allah, to give any of the rights to Allah of Allah to other than Allah. So shirk is the total opposite of Tawheed in everything. And therefore you can have shirk in rububiyya and shirk in uluhiyya and shirk in asma wa sifat. So if you give one of the attributes of rububiyya to other than Allah, this is shirk in rububiyya. Like saying somebody creates as and Allah subhanahu also creates, al-khalq. Or such a wali gives a rizq like Allah gives a rizq. This becomes shirk al-rububiyya. And also we have shirk fil uluhiyya, and that is shirk in your actions or in somebody's actions. If somebody makes dua to Allah and he makes dua to somebody besides Allah. If somebody sacrifices in the name of Allah, then at the same time sacrifices in the name of somebody else. This becomes shirk fil uluhiyya. And then finally you also have shirk fil asma wa sifat. Like I mentioned, you believe other than Allah is Allam al-Ghuyub. When the names of Allah is Allam al-Ghuyub, or the descriptions of Allah is Allam al-Ghuyub. This becomes shirk في الأسماء والصفات. And so that's a general introduction or general definitions to at-tawheed and its three types, and ash-shirk and its three types. And then we also have the word Islam. Often the word Islam is mentioned. And sometimes in English, it's wrongly translated as being peace or mere submission. And some of the scholars have mentioned a definition for Islam, and they said it is al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed, to submit to Allah with tawheed, to submit to Allah by singling out Allah in everything which is specific for Him. Total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. Wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a. And then to comply to the commandments of Allah through obedience. To comply to the commandments of Allah through obedience. And then wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. And to disassociate yourself from shirk and the people of shirk. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirk wa ahlihi. And then after this, often the word Iman is mentioned, Islam and Iman. So therefore, what's the definition of Iman? Al-Iman is i'tiqadun bil-qalb, to have a belief in your heart. I'tiqadun bil-qalb. وَقَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ, and or a statement upon the tongue. وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجَوَارِحِ, and an action upon the limbs. So Iman, it covers all of these three things. Either a belief in the heart, and or a statement upon the tongue, and or actions upon the limbs. يُزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَ, it increases according to your obedience of Allah. It increases according to your obedience of Allah. Bil jawarih. Yuzidu bit ta'a. Iman increases according to your obedience of Allah. Wa yanqusu bil ma'siyah, and it decreases according to your disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. And then the final word or the final introduction is al-ihsan, the meaning of al-ihsan. And al-ihsan, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam defined in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, is an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara, to worship Allah as if you can see Him. To worship Allah as if you can see Him. وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, and if you cannot worship Allah to this extent as if you can see Him, then you know that He sees you. So the first pillar of Ihsan, or the first part of Ihsan, to worship Allah as if you can see Him, then as some of the scholars have mentioned, this is ibadatu shawq wa talab, meaning you are worshipping Allah out of your desire for him. You are worshipping Allah out of your love for him. And if you cannot worship Allah from yourself out of your desire and your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the second part, you worship Allah because he sees you, i.e. out of your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the first part, or the first level, is higher in iman than the second level. The first level is you worship Allah out of your love and your desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second level, which is slightly lower, is then you worshipping because you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fear his punishment. And then the final, one more definition is al-ibadah, worship. What is worship? Al-ibadah. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned a definition for ibadah which is very encompassive. And he said that al-ibadah, worship, is ismun jami', a very comprehensive term, a comprehensive word or a comprehensive term, ismun jami' li kulli ma yuhibbu Allah wa yarda, for everything which Allah loves and he's pleased with. So al-ibadah, worship, it is a comprehensive term, ismun jami' li kulli ma yuhibbu Allah wa yarda, for everything which Allah loves and is pleased with. Min al-aqwal wal af'al, whether that matters a statement or an action, from the statements and from the actions. Al-Zahira wal-Batina, whether they are apparent or whether they are hidden. So any act that you do which Allah loves and is pleased with, whether it's an action you do in front of the people or in private, or whether it's a statement that you make in front of the people or in private, then all of this is considered as being al-Ibadah, worship. The point is that you don't do the action which you love, but rather you do the action which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And that's why some of the scholars have mentioned, I think it was Ibn al-Qayyim who said, لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ, that the matter isn't that you love, but rather that you are loved, i.e. by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't do those actions which you love, but you do those actions which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any questions regarding what we've done so far? Anything that anybody missed out? Okay, if there's no questions, then now we'll start with just the introduction to this text, Al-Qawaid Al-Arba'. Who's got the Arabic with them? No, man. It's fun, you got Arabic. Go and read the Arabic. Can you read it? أذنب وإذا أذنب استغفر فإن هؤلاء الثلاث عنوان السعادة. فإن هؤلاء الثلاثة عنوان السعادة. أحسن الله إليك. And the English, you can read the English. Uthman, read the English.
Name of Allah, the most merciful. Seek, I ask Allah, the most generous, the Lord of the great throne, protect you in this world and the hereafter, that he makes you blessed wherever you are and makes you those who show patience.
keys of happiness. So the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, as is his usual style, and we learnt this from Usul al-Thalatha, that he often begins his writings with a dua, with a supplication for the student. And in this book, he began by saying, or he began by making the dua, As'alullah al-Kareem Rabbul Arsh al-Azim. I ask Allah, the one who is kind, the Lord of the great throne. So he began by making dua. He began by supplicating for the students of knowledge. And the benefit that we take from this is that knowledge is built upon mercy. Knowledge is built upon ar-Rahmah. And knowledge is built upon wanting goodness for the person that you're teaching. Rahmah, mercy from the scholar towards the students of knowledge, or from the teacher towards the students. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Those who are merciful, then the merciful one, i.e. ar-Rahman Allah, he is merciful towards them. The merciful one is merciful towards those who show mercy. Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Have mercy upon those people who are on the earth, and the one who is above the heavens will have mercy upon you. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So always, when knowledge is built upon wanting goodness for the person that you're teaching, or the person that you're giving da'wah to, and is built upon easiness and mercy, then this is when knowledge is successful, or da'wah is successful. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. That due to the mercy of Allah, you were kind with them. I, the disbelievers, you were kind and gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And if you were harsh-hearted and hard against those people, they would have turned away from you. So this ayah shows, again, that a da'wah and knowledge has to be built upon being having the characteristic of being merciful, and also upon gentleness and being kind towards those people you are teaching or giving da'wah to. And this is because the person who has knowledge, who has learned this knowledge, then he realizes the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And this causes him to be humble and not to be arrogant. And because he knows of the ignorance that he was upon, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him knowledge, this causes him to be humble and to be merciful towards the people, not to be arrogant that I know and the people don't know. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said in his Nuniyya, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهَ لَكُنْتَ مِثْلَهُمْ فَالْقَلْبُ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ. That if Allah had willed, then you would have been similar to them. I am similar to the people of shirk, similar to the people of innovation, similar to the people of disbelief. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبَّكَ لَكُنْتَ أَيْضًا مِثْلَهُمْ. Had your Lord willed, then you would have been similar to them. فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ. For indeed the hearts, or the heart is between the fingers of the merciful. As is in the hadith, يُقَلِّبُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. Allah turns the hearts whichever way He wants, from iman to kufr and kufr to al-iman. And therefore you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing of being guided to at-tawheed, and for the blessing of being guided to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you teach this blessing and this knowledge to other people out of mercy and humbleness. And from the stories that really scares every person is a story of a person called Abdullah al-Qasimi. Some of you might have heard of Abdullah al-Qasimi. Abdullah al-Qasimi was a great famous scholar at the time of Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasr al-Sa'idi, i.e. before Ibn Uthaymeen, before Sheikh ibn Baz rahimullah. Before that time, this person called Abdullah ibn Qasimi, he was a scholar. And he wrote many books against the people of disbelief, the people of deviation. He wrote many books, and he was from Al-Qasim, from that area where many, many scholars have come from, Abdullah Al-Qasimi. And he wrote a book, which I think was two volumes and is still printed now, called As-Sara, like the challenge or the fight between the truth and between falsehood. And this Abdullah ibn Qasimi, being a great scholar from that area amongst the scholars, writing books against kufr and the people of deviation, then after a while he ended up leaving Islam. He left alone, leaving Islam. And Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasr al-Sa'di, he wrote many refutations and made takfir upon him because of leaving Islam. And then this person, he left Al-Qasim, and I think he moved to either Egypt or Turkey and died upon disbelief in one of these countries. So if this is a situation with somebody like Abdullah Al-Qasimi, who studied with the scholars and was amongst the scholars in a place of Tawheed, in Qasim, and he's written books, and up until now I have the two-volume book at home that he wrote, As-Sara, and yet he left Islam and he disbelieved. Nasallahu salam wal afiyah. Then a person has to always be fearful for himself. For this reason, one of the greatest du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in the sujood is, Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O the one who turns the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. Ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is who he is, he would make this du'a in the sujood. So the author said, As'alullah al-Kareem. I ask or I supplicate to Allah, the gentle, the kind one, Rabbil Arsh al-Azim, the Lord of the Great Throne, أن يتولاك في الدنيا والآخرة, that he aids you or supports you in the dunya and in the hereafter. وأن يجعلك مباركا أينما كنت, and he makes you mubarak wherever you may be. Sheikh Ibn Uthmeen rahimullah, he mentions the meaning of the term al-baraka. So the meaning of the term al-baraka, because often we hear this term mubarak or at-tabarruk or al-baraka. So what is the meaning of the term al-baraka? And Ibn Uthmeen rahimullah said that baraka is ziyadatul khayri wa thabatuhu, an increase in goodness, and that the goodness becomes settled or established. So Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he's making a dua for you, the student of knowledge, and the reader, the one who reads this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you an avenue of goodness and an increase in goodness. This is the meaning of Mubarak, as Shaykh ibn Uthmeen said. Ziyadatul khayr wa thabatuhu. Or ziyadatul khayr wa thabatihi. وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مِمَّنْ إِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرْ. And then the next dua that he made is that Allah makes you from those people, or from those are people who, when he is given something, then he shows shukr, then he shows thanks or gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning of shukr, like I mentioned, is to show thanks and gratitude. However, there's two terms or two words in the Arabic meaning which have, in the Arabic language, which have a similar meaning. And that is Alhamd and Ash-Shukr. Both of them are very similar in meaning, Alhamd and Ash-Shukr. And therefore the differences between Alhamd and Ash-Shukr is that, number one, Alhamd, this is praise of Allah, whether it's due to a blessing or even if it's not due to a blessing. You praise Allah, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. You praise Allah and you thank Allah in all situations, whether it's after a particular blessing or if it's not after a particular blessing. You thank Allah and you praise Allah in all situations. As for ash-shukr, then this is specific to after Allah has blessed you with something. So after Allah has blessed you with something, then you show shukr to Allah upon that blessing. And also the other difference between Alhamd and Ash-Shukr is that Alhamd is done upon the tongue only. Alhamd, praising and thanking Allah, is done upon the tongue by saying Alhamdulillah. And Ash-Shukr is done upon the tongue as well as with your actions upon your limbs. So Ash-Shukr is done upon the tongue and upon your limbs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا, that the family of Dawood, اِعْمَلُوا, they did actions out of Ash-Shukr. So this shows that Shukr is upon the tongue as well as upon the limbs, whereas Alhamd, thanking and praising Allah, is only upon the tongue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding Nuh, and he described Nuh as being innahu kana abdan shakura. Indeed, Nuh alayhi salam, he was abdan shakura. He was a slave who showed thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of tafsir has mentioned that Nuh alayhi salam, idha akala aklatan shakara Allah, if he ate a morsel of food, he would thank Allah. Idha shariba shurbatan shakara Allah, if he drank something, then he would thank Allah. وَإِذَا اكْتَسَى شَكْرَ اللَّهِ, and whenever he put on new clothing, he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every blessing which Allah blessed Nuh alayhi salam with, from eating and drinking and wearing clothes or any other blessing, then he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, Allah called him إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, that Nuh alayhi salam, he was a slave who is shukur. No, because I said shukr, it includes a statement upon the tongue as well as your actions. So shukr can be either upon your tongue or it can be upon your actions, either one of the two. So for example, if somebody has been given wealth, then the shukr of giving wealth is giving in charity. If somebody has been given the blessing of knowledge or tawheed, then the shukr is to go teach the people at tawheed. If somebody has been guided to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the shukr of this is to go and tell the other people and guide them to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is how you make a shukr upon your limbs. And then after this, the author said, wa idha btuliya sabr, that if anybody is tested, i.e. with an affliction or a calamity, then you are patient. You have a sabr, you are patient. And the meaning of patience in the Arabic language, the meaning of as-sabr in the Arabic language is habsun nafs, is to control yourself. Habsun nafs, to control yourself. And this is of three types. As-sabr is of three types. So the meaning of sabr is habsun nafs, controlling yourself. And it is of three types. As-sabr ala ta'atillah, being patient upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabr ala ta'atillah, being obedient or being patient upon the obedience of Allah. Was-sabr an ma'asiyatillah, and being patient in staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, as-sabr ala aqdarillah, being patient upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being patient upon the decree of Allah. Being patient away from the disobedience of Allah. And then the third one, being patient upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the author here said, wa idha btuliya sabr, that may Allah make you from those people who, when he is afflicted or he has a calamity upon him, then he's patient, then he's meaning the third type. As-sabr ala aqdarillah, being patient upon the decree of Allah. I.e. illness, loss, being hurt, harmed, spokenness, all of these actions, being patient upon it. And then finally, the last thing that he mentioned when he made dua is وَإِذَا أَذْنَبَ اسْتَغْفَرْ, and that Allah makes you from those people who, when you commit a sin, then you seek forgiveness. When you commit a sin, then you seek forgiveness. And then he said, فَإِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الثَّلَاثِ عُنْوَانُ السَّعَادَةِ, for indeed these three matters of showing gratitude when you're given a blessing, or being patient when you are tried with something, or seeking forgiveness when you sin, these are the three keys to happiness. And this is because any individual or any person will find himself in one of three states. Either in a good state, which Allah has blessed you with, and therefore you show shukr, or in a sad state, in which something has been taken away from you, and therefore you show patience, or where you have sinned or erred, and therefore you seek forgiveness. And it's as if the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, it's as if he's speaking to the people of Tawheed. And he is saying that the first thing which Allah has blessed you with is At-Tawheed, and coming to the gatherings of At-Tawheed. And therefore, show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the person of Tawheed, no doubt, somewhere along the line, he will fall short. Some sins he will commit. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kulla bani Adam khatta." Every single one from the children of Adam is khatta, somebody who commits sins. Yarhamukullah. Wa khairul khatta'in at-tawwabun. And the best of those people who sin from the children of Adam are at-tawwabun, those who seek repentance. So no doubt, somewhere along the line, the person of Tawheed, he will sin or fall short, and therefore he seeks forgiveness. And similarly, the person of Tawheed, no doubt when he goes out and he gives da'wah to the people and he forbids the evil, forbids the innovations, no doubt there will be some harm upon the way. And therefore upon you is a sabr, to be patient. And this is the way of the believer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the how strange is the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ, all of his life or all of his matters is always goodness. All of his life, every situation he finds himself, it is goodness. فَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ مَا أَسَرَّهُ شَكَرَ اللَّهِ, if he's touched by something which makes him happy, shakar, he shows shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ, and this is goodness for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّ صَبَرْ, and if some type of affliction or calamity tests him, then he's patient. وَهَذَا خَيْرٌ لَهُ, and then this is goodness for him. So the affair of the believer, all of it is always goodness. In anything which is good and anything which is bad. In that which is good and you show thanks to Allah, this is goodness. And anything which is bad or harmful and you are patient, then this is goodness. And with that, we'll finish this lesson, which is an introduction to Al-Qa'id Al-Arba, until next Friday, where we carry on. So what's requested from the brothers is, number one, if you haven't made notes, to copy the notes. And inshallah, before Monday, this lesson will be put up on the website, islamlesson.co.uk. So those who have missed out anything in your notes, then make up these notes. Secondly, try to memorize and learn and understand the definitions that we went through and the benefits that we have covered. And next week when we come, shall we revise over everything we've done, and we'll test each other, and then we'll go on to the next chapter, inshallah. And when I say we're going to test each other, it doesn't mean I'm going to pinpoint people or show people, but whoever has learned, we'll test them, inshallah. Is there any questions regarding the dars? Okay, Mohsin, what have you learned today? Give one benefit that you've learned today. Any benefit? The three types of Tawheed. Nadeem? Uthman, sorry. Abdullah Al-Qasimi. Uthman over there at the end. Any benefit that you learned today? You mean Ihsan? Ihsan, yeah. And the Junaid, as it should be. The three types of patience, which are? The decree of Allah. Isfahan? No, man, which is a different thing every land. Brother, how have you learned? What have you learned? Any benefit? Okay. Taqir? Any different benefit? And the best of the sinners is those who are tawwab. Abdullah? The person who has knowledge, he show humbleness and humility and mercy because it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam? فَكَذَلِكُمْ كُنْتُمْ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. As Allah said in the Quran, similar to this you were, and then Allah blessed you, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. So go make it clear to the people. تفضل أخي. What do you say, Adam? Arshad at the back. To show gratitude upon blessing Salah al-Din. Yeah, as a statement of Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسد, as Imam Muslim narrates from him. أخي, تفضل. أحسنت. والمدثر. سكت. Brother at the back. Uthman.
Those who are merciful, Allah will show mercy.
It's a hadith of the Prophet, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Nadeem?
The real meaning of Islam.
Al-Islam lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqad lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. Abdurrahim. Inna amr al-ajba bi amr mu'min kullu khair. Akhi. Yeah, this is from Al-Islam. As one of the questions from a sister, how long can a person pray qasr for when they are away from home? As long as a person is in a journey, as long as a person is musafir and is travelling, then they can pray qasr. I shorten the prayers. Wallahu alam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.